Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled The Heavenly Vision. And we were looking at a period of time at the very end of Solomon's reign. And it says in 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. He built a high place for Chemosh and the abomination of Moab, and also for Molech. And it says in verse 9, the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord had commanded. In other words, God warned him, but he went ahead and did the popular thing of the nations of those days. And in verse 11, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statute, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. And going on in that book of 1 Kings a little bit further, it says in chapter 11, verse 42, Solomon reigned over all of Israel for 40 years, and when he passed away, Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. So then as he became king, all of Israel went to Shechem to make him king, and he had advisors. There were some of the young men and some of the older men. And in verse 7 of chapter 12, it says, they spake unto him, that he was speaking to the old men, those who had ministered under David. They spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, will serve them and answer them, speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. Of course, he didn't take their advice. He listened to the young men and said in verse 11, and now whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastened you with whips, but I'll chastise you with scorpions. And as a result, because the king answered them roughly, they departed. And it says in verse 16, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. O Israel, return now to your tents. And so as a result, the kingdom was divided, and Israel rebelled against the house of David. And so we see at this point there is a servant that was in Solomon's court. His name was Jeroboam. And a man of God comes to him, and he says that if you will keep my commandments, this is 1 Kings 11, and hearken to all that I command you, I will be with you and build you a sure house as I built for David, and I will give Israel to you. And of course, we found out that Solomon did try to kill Jeroboam, but he fled unto Egypt until Solomon's death. And so when he is king over all Israel, because it says in the 12th chapter, verse 20, that none followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. And so he when he came to Jerusalem, he assembled the tribes. And basically, in verse 26, he says, the kingdom shall return now to the house of David. He was concerned about his staying in power. And if the people go up to sacrifice to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, then their heart will be turned back to Rehoboam and the king of Judah. So basically what he did to establish his kingdom, he built two calves, and he set one up in Bethel, the other in Dan. And he basically made Israel to sin. That was his epitaph throughout succeeding chapters. He made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of David. So this brings us now to chapter 13. And there, a man of God, he's an unnamed prophet, goes out of Judah by the word of the Lord. He goes to King Jeroboam, and he cries against the altar and said, "Altar, altar, thus says the Lord, a child shall be born unto thee, Josiah by name, and upon thee, this altar, he shall offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." And he gave a sign the same day, saying, "This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, "Lay hold on him." And when he did that, his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up so that he could not pull it again to him. What a dramatic miracle intervention of God. And the altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, "Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me again." And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him again, and became as it was before. So this word of the Lord that had been given was fulfilled 356 years later. Josiah was the last of the godly kings of Judah, if you will, before the destruction of Jerusalem. And he had removed all idolatry in Jerusalem throughout Judah and basically carried his revival even into the northern kingdom to Bethel. And so what we see here is that Jeroboam's altar was destroyed, and when he did that, he saw tombs across on the mountains, and he brought the bones of the tombs and burnt them on the altar to defile it. And this was fulfilled in 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter, verses 15 through 18. Let me read that for you. "Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he brake down, and burned the high place, and stamped it small to powder, and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres, and burned them upon the altar, and polluted it." That was why he did it. "According to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words." Then he said, "What title is that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah, and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel." That was 56 years before. And verse 18, "And he said, let him alone, let no man move his bones. So they let his bones, that of the prophet, with the bones of the prophet that came from Samaria." And it's interesting to note that the prophecy of the unnamed man of God who came out of Judah, which is described in 1 Kings, the 13th chapter, that prophecy was directed at the altar as a sign to Jeroboam. And it did. It says, he gave a sign the same day, saying, "This is the sign what the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, "Lay hold on him." His hand dried up, and the altar, verse 5, was rent, and the ash had poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And so it's interesting to note, though, that prophecy was against the altar, really not against the king, but definitely a threat to those who would worship there. So what have we seen so far? When the king stretched out his hand, when he heard the words of the prophet to lay hold of him, in other words, restrain him, that stretched out arm and his inability to pull it back, his failure of his own strength, is a contrast, if you will, to the laws and judgments of God. Man may devise all sorts of strategies, but ultimately it was a demonstration in a very literal, physical way that God's power exceeds that of man. And then in verse 5 through 6, when the altar was destroyed, it was very dramatically a proof of the authenticity of the words of this unnamed prophet. Well, I see my time has flown and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I thank you for joining me and would ask for your prayers, and know that I pray for you, my UCM partners, as well as my radio family, even though you've never written. But if the Lord moves upon you, you have prayer needs, I invite you to write, "I alone read and answer the mail." The announcer will give our contact information, and should you email, preferring that convenience, if you would leave your mailing address, I would respond to you by letter, but I promise I will receive your request and pray for you. Thank you for joining me, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.